Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to the Industry Safe Space, your new safe space. I'm your girl, Kai, certified trichologist, licensed 20-plus year cosmetologist, trusted silk press enthusiast. Yes, I know I have locks. Just trust me. And I have with me, of course.
What's up? My name is Blake, high fashion photographer and multi-hyphenate creative, 24-year veteran in the fashion entertainment business. What's up, y'all?
And so today we are going to be unpacking something that is very, very, very necessary in the Black community. We are in a day and age where a lot of people are entrepreneurs. Everyone has ideas. People are starting businesses, but we are not protecting them and covering them.
Amen.
So I have with me an amazing attorney, and we are going to be talking about owning your sh. Now, you can insert your favorite cuss word, but we are going to cover
know what that is.
Trademarking, copywriting, patent, all the details and the things that you need to know. So, Jamila, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I am attorney Jamila Moore, and I am your business's lethal weapon. Oof. I'm your business's superpower.
That's it.
Because if you're doing business without me, you're not doing business. You're out here riding dirty. I keep you from making sure your business isn't stolen. I make sure that you get your profits, and I actually help you make more money.
Come on. I heard that.
Listen.
Yes, so.
That was a mouthful, and I loved every bit of it. That was it.
No, because, so we have insurance on our cars, we have insurance on our homes, but we do not protect our intellectual properties. All those ideas and visions that God has given you, those books that you've written, those formulas that you've come up with, those things need to be protected. So to kind of just get the ball rolling, can you kind of explain the difference or what trademark, copyright, and patent is?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. I think is oftentimes misunderstood. So
while she's talking, pull out pen and paper, take these notes.
So one, I'm not giving anyone legal advice. I do not have an attorney-client relationship with anyone. I am simply giving you an opinion here today. Now, if you want some legal advice, you know where to come. But a trademark, it is basically, in layman's terms, your short creative ideas. And these are the names of businesses, the names of podcasts, the names of programs, courses, events, conferences, anything that you're putting a name to and a logo, you want to make sure is trademarked. Why? Because if you do not, someone's going to see what you have and they're going to trademark it from up under you. We call those people trademark trolls. You
that.
Ever like them little things like with the hair?
No.
Like, no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't like them either. Uh-huh. Right? And so that's trademarks. But then we have copyright. So that's the long form creativity. That's your scripts. Those are your books. Those are your webinars. Those are your master classes. Those are your like actual podcast episodes, your movies. Mm. And so you copyright that to make sure no one can come and steal that from you. And when you trademark and copyright things, that is most important because it gives you leverage to license them.
Mm.
Right. And so when you have ownership, you are building an asset for your business. And you talked about us, right? I'm going to get into patents, too, because I know you said that. You talked about us. We'll go out there. We get our first little chunk of change. We going to buy a bag or we going to buy a suit or we going to get a car.
Why you scratching?
I don't know how she's talking to me right now.
And what's the resale value on that?
All right. Well, this has been fun. Yikes.
But a trademark and a copyright, you could sell that for millions before it's even trademarked, before it's even copywritten. Why? Because somebody sees value in your idea. So from here on out, you can't create without me. You can't create with someone like me because you may be in a position where you have the opportunity for millions. You have the opportunity for billions, but you just give it away. You walk outside and throw your money in the air because you didn't think to protect your idea. Now, when we go into patents, that's a specialized type of attorney because that's scientific in nature in a sense. And you deal with that in a way of like having a very specific code or a very specific like formula and things product. In that product. Nature. Okay. And it has to be new and innovative. But a way that you can protect it before you file for a patent, because it can be expensive, is through trade secrets, right? Coca-Cola, that is the way they've protected their business throughout this entire time. The formula is a trade secret. And so I think at any given time, there are only two people in the world that know the formula.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yes. And so that's how they protected that all of this time. And we didn't know, but they're like, nah, we don't even want to put it out there for somebody to even try to recreate. Because what is millions in my mind? And for them, it's billions.
That's genius.
Oh.
So when you speak about the copyright being the long form, right? Mm-hmm. Does, let's just say, in a podcast, when you copyright the name of the podcast, the logo and things of that nature, are all of your episodes, things you talk about in the episodes, automatically included and encompassed in that? Or do you also have to copyright episodes and things like that?
That's a very good question. So when we think about it, we're going to start off with trademarking. And we're going to trademark the name and we're going to trademark the logo. And here is something that most people get confused about. They love to run out there and trademark that logo and protect a picture.
Wow.
Mm. When you really should be focused on protecting the actual words.
Okay.
And you want to protect the words because now no one else can use that word combination. But when you do the logo first, no one can use that picture combination.
Got it.
So would you either have pictures or would you either have words?
Right.
Right. And so once you have that protected, then when you produce episodes, you can copyright the episode or you can put them together and then send them all at the same time to say it's copywritten in that way.
Got it.
But you want to make sure that whatever it is that you're using, you have the ownership rights over it. And so one thing that we don't think about, too, is when we hire people to do graphics. When we hire people to come in and create whatever that thing is, you need to make sure you have the right independent contractor agreement in place so that those ownership rights transfer over to you. So let's just say you come out here, you did all of this great work and you wrote a book and now you the new J.K. Rowling. But you produce certain characters in that book, you produced a book cover and they want all of that. But you don't have any ownership rights over it because you didn't have them sign an independent contractor agreement when they created that for you. And so now they're the owners. And you're basically, you're like on borrowed time.
You
kind
of like,
yes.
Okay.
Right. That's what I didn't even.
Okay. So is there ever a situation where you have automatic implied ownership? What I mean, as a photographer, I know legally the minute I snap a picture, I own that image for the rest of my life and 70 years thereafter. I don't really have to file any paperwork because I took the image. With other types of creativeness, is there ever an implied copyright because I wrote it, I did it, I said it? Is there ever time where it's implied you necessarily have to do the paperwork?
So that is a really good question. And the reason why I say that is because just like that's the case with photography, it's the case when you write a book. It's the case whenever you do something that's copyrightable.
Okay.
Right? And so you get automatic copywritten rights. However, why you want to go the extra mile is because you want to have proof that it's yours and you want to have enforceable rights. Hmm. And so if I wrote a book, I send it to the Library of Congress, it's copywritten. You can't come and say, I wrote that book too. Well, where is your proof? You can say, well, I produced it on this day and I mailed it to myself. And so when you think about that level of ownership, it's about enforceable rights. So it gives you the right to sue. It gives you the right to stop and it gives you the right to sell versus kill, steal and destroy because you don't know.
So in the rare cases, because I think you and I spoke about this, in the rare case, I have this amazing vision. I've been in business and, you know, in the Black community, you get an LLC and a business bank account. You think you own it. So I've been running under this business, let's say 5 years. And Blake, let's say, comes and likes the name and the concept. And then he then files a trademark. Like, I have nothing but LLC and a business bank account. How does that, like, does he have the right? Am I messed up? Like, how would that go? Like, if he said, no, I want that name.
Let me fix my glasses on that one.
Oh, God.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Mm.
And it's about first in use, but also first to file.
So basically, I'm screwed.
You're not, but it's you're going to go through a hassle and you're going to have to fight it out. And remember, I talked about those enforceable rights.
Mm-hmm.
So now we don't know who really has the enforceable rights, because mm-hmm. I guarantee you the person who filed is going to say that they were using it before you started using it. It's the case with the biggest Christian women's movement in the country of U.S. right now. And the thing with trademarks, sometimes we think about it being the same. No, it's similar. And it's about customer confusion. So if I can argue
that it's
you
too close,
coming in would confuse the consumers.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because that's actually, it's interesting. The delay actually in the podcast, because the plan was to release this podcast in February of 2024. Again, like I just stated, had the domain name, Instagram name, YouTube name. So I'm excited. I'm like,
let's go.
Let's go. This guy, right?
Yeah.
And I was speaking with a client. Thank God I was speaking with that client. And she instantly, I gave her the concept, the idea. She said, yeah, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you need to stop even talking about it. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, don't you promote it? Don't you release it? Don't you do nothing until you file a trademark? And so I was partially devastated because it delayed it a couple of months. And of course, that's how I met this wonderful lady who is now my attorney. But it's just crazy how you can have the idea and think you own it. And it's so many people. It's so many million-dollar entities and brands that don't, like when we were having a conversation, it's so many companies that don't own their name. Like, it's not trademarked or anything.
Now, what's the difference in mediums and platforms? So if Kai has a copyright, trademark, whatever have you, for the Industry Safe Space podcast, and that's the structure, can someone come with a same name, same approach, same vision, but do an Industry Safe Space TV show? Does she have the same rights? Does she have a fight? Is it depending on how she filed? Walk us through that.
So she has a leg to stand on if she is monitoring her application, which she is because she has an attorney.
The best.
And once it is registered, you still have to monitor for infringement. And so in a case like that, what you want to argue is when they try to put in an application, you are limiting my rights or infringing upon my right to expand.
Okay.
And I always thought about this going on TV, hence why it's both audio and visual. But this was the way that I started. And so the example that I think about here is, I think we all know of the guy Caesar from Black Ink.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so Viacom trademarked Black Ink Crew prior to them actually filming.
Wow.
So
even though that was the name of his shop way before a TV show was created.
Right. He had his LLC, probably had a domain. You know, he had all the stuff that we think we're supposed to have. And then years later, here comes Caesar trying to file for it. So he's like, OK, Viacom, you got it. You got it for, you know, TV show, entertainment services, whatever. I'm going to do it for T-shirts and I'm going to do it as a tattooing business. No, you're not, Caesar.
Wow. 20-year business.
Gone. It's reported that that brand made over $1 billion over the course of 10 years.
Yeah.
And how much did Caesar get?
Hmm.
And we have to be careful because we get excited about that little money up front, but it's about that big money later. And we have to shift our mindset around investments. Because I'm not filing a trademark to like really own some stuff. No, I have an investment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's also like Kim Kardashian. She now has the Skin beauty brand.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a young woman who had that application in.
Yeah.
the application has been abandoned.
Oh.
But is it abandoned because she sold that idea for millions?
Mm.
So abandoned basically means the filing stopped.
Like, yeah, she withdrew her application.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And so.
Now, can you, when you copyright, trademark, do you still have a fight if someone takes your name and expands it to now it's original? If I write a play called Black Men Don't Cry, and it's copyrighted, it's trademarked, I got it. Can someone come behind me and write another one, Black Men Don't Cry Alone? And now they have, you know, you stole my entire idea, my entire concept, but because you added a word or two, now it's okay. Is that possible?
Yes and no. Let me tell you something that the creators of Coachella did. They not only trademarked Coachella, they trademarked Chella.
Mm.
And so when Afrochella came up, it was like,
nah, you can't do that. Huh, that's smart.
Maybe. Yeah, so like when you're in a visionary space, you really want to be like, okay.
You got to think big.
So you got to really think hard about all the possibilities.
Right. And like just being creative, right? Because sometimes we as people of color, we want to go in and use something that's common and want to trademark that. If it's merely descriptive, it's very likely that an examiner is going to be like, no, we're not trademarking this. If it's too vague and general or too common, no, we're not trademarking this. And so you want it to be what we call fanciful. And that just means it's something that's totally created, like whoops. And you spell it in a weird way, right?
Okay.
Or you want it to be arbitrary where you take something that's common and use it in an uncommon way. So we see that with Apple. We see that with Amazon. Okay. We see that with Visa, right? Like you wouldn't think in Target, right? Like that's a store. What? No, that's the Bullseye thing. No, it's not.
Right.
Right. Because it's arbitrary. And then you can think about something that is suggestive, right? Something that the person has to make a stronger inference to make the connection as to what's happening. And so that's why most people want to make sure they get with the right type of trademark attorney to counsel them through that. And sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, I saw this sale and I got this. So one of my clients was like, I saw this sale. It was like $750 per trademark. I went and got them. Then she over here texting me and asking me clarifying, that wasn't in your package?
Of course not. Mm-hmm.
So did you save money? Because now you got to pay for my hourly rate.
And you don't want to do that. Not cheap.
Because you save money. And the biggest thing is when you are working with an attorney, you want to make sure that they can give you understanding.
Yeah.
Because you want to, even if you're not using an attorney all the time, want to begin to move in a place where you are thinking like a lawyer. You think about the risk, you think about the liability, and you think about the possibility. You got to do all three.
List those three again. I told y'all, take notes. Write this down.
And then we're going to also have her information at the end because you're definitely going to need to contact her.
So you got to think about the risk.
Okay.
The liability.
Okay.
And the possibility. We tend to focus on the possibility and not the risk and liability.
And so that's where a good attorney comes because, like speaking, you kind of stretch and go past what?
That limited understanding.
What's mm-hmm. in front. And so let's take Blake Martin, for mm-hmm. instance. That's his name, but also business right. as well. Like, so when he...
That was going to be my question. You brought it right up. It's okay. Great. So how does doing business as play into that? Because to Kai's point, a lot of African-American businesses, we get the limited stuff and then we mm-hmm. think we've gone the step further by getting the doing business as certificate and that protects us. But that's not the case. So how does just a DBA factor into these things that you're talking about? Great point, Kai.
You want to make sure all of your money makers are protected. So whatever the thing is that's leading out front, you want to make sure that that is the thing that has either the trademark, copyright, contract protection. And the thing about it, contracts are a vehicle to make sure you have even greater enforceable rights over your trademark and your contract. I mean, your trademarks and your copyrights. And so when someone comes and you're doing business with them, you want to make sure like, huh, okay, let me make sure there's no non-compete. There's non-solicitation. There is something in there that talks about my intellectual property and what you can and cannot do with it and what will happen if you do think you're slick, right? And so it's my job to like think about all of the possibilities, all of the risks, all of the liabilities, and the people who are slick, because all it takes is that one slick person. And then it's like, boom, now you're down a slippery road. And we see that with one of the biggest music stars in entertainment right now.
That's good.
Now that, okay, so you guys, like he said, take good notes. So as a hairstylist, if I have, so what I operate under, the Kai Experience, I would need to trademark that, correct?
Yes.
And then the logo as well?
Yes. If you're in love with this
logo. So more so probably just focus on the words.
Yeah, if you're in love with that logo, because some people are in love with that logo.
It every 2 years.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You want to make sure.
Just the words.
Yeah. And I think the story of Nike is like one of the most incredible stories ever. Because I think one of the owners, and it's escaping me right now, he paid $35 for someone to create a logo. And I was like, so when did he make her sign a contract? She was a college student. Did he make her sign a contract, or later did he make her assign over her rights to Nike? Right. But that swoosh has been the swoosh forever. Or yeah. That little check mark has been the check mark since its inception.
It's recognizable.
Right. And yeah. So like, and that comes back into creativity. And I think, too, sometimes it takes a lot of belief for us to like go through the hustle and bustle of making it and being like the trendsetters in our families and our communities and things of that nature. Because many times we don't start off with business owners surrounded by us. Mm-hmm. And even if we do, they haven't been forthcoming, and they're not in this day and time, because we are in a different time of business.
Yes,
where everything. Literally it's about like ideas, because at any given moment it can go around the world. Mm-hmm. And so what have you done with the idea that came from your head in the event it goes around the world?
Wow.
Is it the world's or is it yours?
And then we typically think so small. Like we don't see, we're just in our living room or talking to our friends, and you come up with something and you like, oh, I'm about to name it this.
Because that's how we do. We'll be sitting at dinner and have 18 ideas at that table.
Got to keep a journal.
Yeah.
You're not a real entrepreneur unless you walk around with a journal, your notepad.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that it's not discussed enough. A lot of people, of course, if you're in the field, you understand it. But again, in this day and age where everyone is starting businesses, coming up with ideas, creating products. Like that's one of the things you see a lot of. So many people are creating products, and I'm sure they're not protected. They're not even understanding the protection of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what typically is the likelihood of a trademark, or what kind of happens when a trademark gets denied?
And it does happen sometimes, but I feel like
does it happen a lot? I mean, have you seen it happen a lot?
Yes, but it's
the way she took a deep breath. Like,
right.
No, but it's yes because of ignorance.
And the wrong attorney. Fill out the application properly or something like that.
Sometimes it's the wrong attorney. Okay. And this is my field, right? And so one of the things is you want to make sure you're able to vet the attorney to make sure that they actually care about your vision and what's happening and what's behind your vision. Because when people come to me, I don't see them in particular. I see all the people they're supposed to touch. Mm. Mm. So in reality, I am building for the millions that are attached to them. I'm building for the thousands that are attached to them. So there's legacy tied to the work that I'm doing for you and for you, right? And so I don't take that lightly. And so you want to listen for that type of thing when you're working with anyone that's a part of the thing that you're supposed to birth. Because at any given time, they could be the reason why things break down. Sometimes I hear of, attorneys just taking people's money and, you know, I never got my trademark through. And it's just like, okay, well, what was the vetting process? Well, they said. And so one of the things that I'm passionate about is like, okay, you got to start learning how to use discernment, ask for some proof, and then, you know, try and figure out what types of questions to ask. And now we have AI and stuff like that. So just Google, like, what questions should I ask my attorney if I want to hire them for this? And that can at least give you something. But another thing that I want to hit on, because this woman, she put this thing out here like, I'm hiring speakers for my big event and it's the Blankpreneur conference and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, let me go see if she owned her trademark. Child. This woman is infringing upon somebody else's rights. Oh. She need not have that conference.
Oh. Does she know?
I doubt it. But if she would have showed up to the call, maybe I could have told her and gave her some help. No. But, you know.
It just got real spicy.
But it's one of those things where.
And is it that easy to search? Like,
if you know what you're doing, okay. At least to do a general, like, am I infringing upon somebody else's rights?
Okay, well, see, well, there's a question about that. Because let's say she did know. Right.
You say did or didn't?
Did. Okay. Let's say she did know. I know because I've been in the business a long time. So I know a lot of people who are aware that they're operating with a name that's been trademarked, copyrighted, whatever. But they're like, that's a $1 billion, $1 million company that owns the name. I'm just doing something locally in Chicago at the Lilly Event Center. They're not going to care about me. They're not going to hear about me. They'll never know unless I'm out there making millions. It ain't a big deal. So if you are infringing on someone's copyright, but you're doing some small little event, or your little bitty company, is it that big of a deal?
Let me, before you even answer, let's say, for instance, somebody taking a few little $100 out of your pocket, you're going to say, oh, no, that's okay. They can have it because it's
well,
not.
Well, listen, it. Get off me.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let the attorney talk. Because even if I'm a $1 million company,
it depends.
You can't even, I don't even want you to say, come on, little hundreds.
I feel that, but I know a lot of $1 million companies that throw $50,000. They were like, oh, it didn't work out. $50,000. Who cares? So they're not going to go after you knowing I'm only going to get $1,000 from a lawsuit.
True.
Who cares? And a lot of people operate knowing that.
I mean, it depends upon the owner of that business, right? Okay. Because Louis Vuitton care, Balenciaga care. And you talking about little small mom and pop things that are popping up, but like, no, it's too similar. And it's about the people who care about people tainting their brand. So it's bigger than the dollar amount that they're going to get from it. It's like, are you going to misrepresent my brand? Are people then going to start to think differently about what I offer? Are people going to think like I can go there and get this lookalike? Like, I don't want no lookalike. Okay. That's why I invested in making sure I had everything right.
Mm, got it.
That makes sense.
I have a question about copywriting names specifically. Mm-hmm. So as she said, if she is operating the Kai experience, mm-hmm. and let's just say Kai is not her government name, mm-hmm. is that just a doing business as? Is that a trademark? Is that a copyright of you operating as a different entity? One, and then two, is it illegal in a way to operate as that entity without the official paperwork?
So this is a loaded question. It's loaded. No, it's fine. The people need to know. It's loaded for a number of reasons, right? Because it depends. So every entrepreneur probably has to be in compliance with at least like 6 to 10 laws at any given time. I know y'all don't even know that.
Ooh.
So what you're talking about,
six.
What you're talking about right now is corporations law.
Okay. Because my government is Terrence Johnson. Mm-hmm. I operate in my life as Blake Martin. Mm-hmm. That is what everybody knows me as. That's who I am in business. That's what contracts I've written under and all of that. So that's kind of the, you know, the question of how do I frame that part of me to make sure that that's protected?
Yeah. So the state that you filed your paperwork in for your limited liability company, your corporation, your nonprofit, they dictate what you have to do. Now, here is something that's unique. When you do business outside of your state, you put yourself into the world of interstate commerce. And so now you have to, I know. It's just like, oops, I stepped outside of Illinois and went over there to Indiana. Now I've invoked myself to federal.
That's just across the street.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. And let me tell you something. Ignorance of the law ain't no excuse. Because, you know, the first thing we say is, well, I didn't know. Like, well, you should have. And you enter into the world where some of these issues have strict liability. That means, like, if A, B, and C happened, and you could either settle out of court, or you could go to court and pay whatever fine the judge, arbitrator, mediator is going to hand out.
Okay.
And so knowledge then becomes your best friend as a business owner. And thinking through, okay, so if the state of Illinois says that you have to have a fictitious business name, I think in South Carolina or North Carolina, don't quote me, you don't have to have that, right? But then if you are doing business in the U.S., you want to make sure that you are following best practices. So it may just be a best practice to make sure it's registered. The other thing you could do is actually amend the name of the business to actually align. And then in terms of it being ownership and an asset in your business, or having ownership and it being an asset in your business, you want to trademark the name, right? Because remember,
even if it's as a person and not an idea.
And here's a new thing that's happening.
Y'all
because
just need to get an attorney. Okay,
yeah, that's what it's given.
We're in a world of ideas. Like, we've shifted. Yeah. And so now, depending on who you are and where you think you're going, you need to trademark your name. Oh, you want to use my name? And then when you go to the table from a negotiation standpoint, I'm negotiating not only the service that I'm going to offer, I'm negotiating the licenses that are available because of all of the things I own in my business. So I'm giving you access to license my name. I'm giving you access to license my material. I'm giving you access to license this. And for those of you all that are like, I don't even know what a license is. It's the ability to rent out things that you own. All of the things you've already created in your head. So it's like leasing a car, leasing a home. Well, you can lease your mind in certain instances. And guess what? It's a $270 billion industry. Licensing alone.
Yeah, licensing is huge.
So if you own something, you have the ability to license something. Because millions are made in your mind.
Well, in terms of licensing, I have a very specific question.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we talked about, as a photographer, when I snap an image, I own the image, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you come to me and just say, hey, I need some simple headshots for my website, I do the photograph. Technically, I own the image, but I was very clear you need these images for your website. Tomorrow, I wake up and you are now using that image for the cover of your book. That is not the license we agreed on. Now, the trouble is, as photographers, that upsets us, that frustrates us, but a lot of us independent photographers don't know what's our course of action to honestly take other than just being upset about it. We know you violated our licensing, but what do we do? What should we do? And if it's just Kai is putting out a podcast and she's using my images to promote a podcast, is it worth going after her? Or kind of what does that look like?
So that's a very good question. And this is where we invoke the world of contracts. Remember I told you, like, you have your trademarks, you have your copyrights, you have your trade secrets, all those different things, patents, and you really protect it through the vehicle of a contract. And so for you, you probably want to have packages that are set up based on the highest level of licensing.
And I do. Mm-hmm. I think the issue is that people aren't either forthcoming or ideas expand. When you came to me, you really did just need website photos. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, oh, I got a book. I'll just use these photos I got because they're great. Well, you didn't know. You should have circled back to me and had a different conversation.
Right. Because you think because it's, that's
they
really
paid for it.
And you think because it's you.
Right.
You think it's a picture of me.
And I paid for it.
No, that's really
good.
It,
and it's not the case.
So it goes into the beginning part in the contract part where you educating them on what the different packages mean. And what the liability is for them. And so when you get with a good attorney, it's probably something in a contract that will keep them from wanting to even violate anything that they agreed upon.
So what is the court? What do you do as a photographer? For example, I did a photo shoot with a model, collaboration shoot, meaning it was free for me, free for him. No one's paid. It was just something fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
I look up and I'm watching a TV show on a very popular TV station. And my images are all through the opening credits. And I was like, what is happening here? And he was like, well, pictures of me. I thought I could use them. And you gave them to this billion-dollar network that never asked me. So then what do I do for that?
Did you get a signing even though it was free?
No.
Mm.
Because again, I'm not putting y'all all on the client, but again, if me and you, like, we meet, we have fun, let's just get and take some pictures.
Ain't no more
of
that.
We're not Blake. Thinking of the, you did what with my picture? Or you're thinking you're smart enough to know, you cannot do that.
So we not cool. Like, we really, no. We really have to start operating like that if we really want to be sophisticated business owners.
Mm. That part.
Yeah, it's one thing to own a business, but do we want to be sophisticated business owners? And so even if I'm doing something for free, I'm going to have you sign some type of writing, right? And so you business owners, you aspiring business owners, and I'm about, can I go down another street?
Bust
because,
it.
You know, pastors, ministry leaders, they need to be going to see some people too.
I want
to
go home.
Because.
You still got a little more time, though, so.
They doing Ooh. Stuff without writings and things of that nature. And that literally determines the legacy that you're able to leave. Mm. Because let's take this for instance. Like, I go preach for so-and-so. This goes viral. And now their YouTube channel has made $300,000 off of that.
Yeah.
Of you.
Do I get any royalties? Do I get any payment? Because that we grew up in a church together, so I just went over there and did this for a favor. And I'm not saying that we can't do this, but we have to understand the world has shifted and we are in a different dispensation. It is now the dispensation of ideas and the virtual world. Mm. And so I have to start to almost think of myself like Amazon or something, like a corporation. Yeah. There was an attorney I was blessed to sit down with, the late Kobe Bryant's attorney. And she said, Jamila, I always teach the athletes that they are no longer this person. They are an entity yeah. and conglomerate. Yeah. And so if we're going into business, if we're influencers, if we're, you know, this and we're that, we have to shift our mindset. And, you know, like we all, you know, go to church and grew up in church and stuff. So, you know, the wealth of the wicked is stored up. Not for you, though.
You better.
Because yeah. did you do your paperwork?
Yeah.
Did you understand who you were? The storage is there.
It is, but you can't tap into it because yeah. you didn't do your paperwork.
Yeah.
Do the paper. Well, just hire her and she'll do the paperwork.
But, and Kai, you're creative and you work in this business.
That's what she's blowing my mind.
And sometimes that conversation is awkward. And not only is the pre-conversation awkward, the post-conversation is awkward because me and Kai like, I love you. Let's just get in the lab. You do the hair. I take the picture. Let's just create. It's awkward to be like, well, before we do anything, sign this. It feels awkward. But then what is even more awkward is then Kai has done something she didn't supposed to. And she's my friend. And I'm like, friend, my lawyer is about to call you. That's awkward.
And so you still be friends afterwards.
And you avoid doing the paperwork because you're like, I want to avoid both parts of this awkward scenario.
Especially me, because if y'all know, I don't like confrontation.
I don't. And that's a lot of times when I see my copyright being infringed upon, I'm like, but I really like that person. This is going to make everything awkward and sour. So just forget it. How do we deal with that?
I love you enough to proactively set us up for success. Mm.
Say that one more time.
I love you enough to proactively set us up for success. And so the brand of Blake Martin, the brand of the Kai Experience is that we always have our ducks in a row. And so what that means is no matter the relationship, I'm going to make sure this is documented the right way.
Okay.
When I hired my little sister to do something for me, I was like, here's the independent contractor agreement. Let me know if you have any questions about it or if you want to have an attorney look over it. Wow. And it was like a $100 deal. We're talking about $100. But what if that's the
like
thing?
100.
Yeah. Okay. But what if that's the family. Thing that's going to make me thousands? What if that's the thing that's going to make me?
Again, we're thinking too small.
Millions. Yeah.
So does it have to be this, at least for people, for like us that can be booked online? For me, there's a small agreement that says you understand you have to show up on time. If you're late, you don't get a refund, all that. Can all that verbiage be in there? And when you click, you agree, that's cool. Or do I have to have a physical? Here you go. Read this, sign this, review this. What does that look like?
So we enter into contracts all day long.
And don't and even...
do. Right. When we... Apple update due to this, we just click the button and now we didn't agree to the terms of service. And so the terms of service is some protection, right? But then if you want this to be more ironclad, right? There's always what's arguable, because that's what the law is about, is what's arguable. But if you want it to be more ironclad than not, you want to go the extra mile and at least send them a digital copy, right? So use something like Dubsado, 17 Hats, Adobe, DocuSign, PandaDoc, but always send them a writing. And this is sad to say, they're not going to read it. But they at least you did what you were supposed to do, and it's right there. And so in the event when something happens, you're like, go to page 3, paragraph 15 and read what's there. Please make sure you're in full compliance, because when things do go wrong, then you come to me on the back end, probably having to spend even more money on a demand letter to start the pre-litigation process. And then, because I'm not litigating, I don't want to. Right. I can only take you so far, but then you have to go and find a separate attorney if you want to go after them. And you may be thinking like this $1,000 is not worth it, but let's just take your example. Oh boy, sent this to a $1 billion network. Now that picture is making millions.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal, but it is a big deal now. And we wait until it's a big deal and they want to be like, wait, give my stuff back. Right? You remember, yeah, like when we were kids, they were like, you little Indian giver.
Yeah.
Don't be an Indian giver. Just like set it up right from jump.
Can companies like that weasel out of being out of compliance because they were ignorant? If you tell them, oh, I own the pictures, and they're like, okay, he said he owned it, so he used it. And I come back like, well, he lied. He doesn't. Can they still be liable?
Who has the ownership rights and the proof?
I do.
You have the proof. I'm going to say like, but that's what's going to boil down to. Like, who has the proof?
I mean, I took the picture.
Okay. You took the picture.
So but by legal terms, as soon as I snapped the button, I own it.
Okay. But where was the contract to say that you didn't assign those rights over to him?
Well, he doesn't have any paper. Well, you don't have any paperwork to say I did. So,
but this is where we get into the argument. So now you don't even have
it's
to.
It's a back and forth.
You gotta argue with him.
And so now they get the big attorney. Now you gotta
argue with the company.
And I ain't got no $1 billion attorney money.
Right. And so you go with the, now you see why you can't go into this like friendship space. Right? Like, we just gonna do business. We gonna do business. And even if I'm the trendsetter in the friend group, if I'm the trendsetter in the family group, I'm gonna set the trend because I'm worth it. My legacy is worth it. Like, think about Tyler Perry. Once that first play finally hit, he was just like, whew, had no idea he was going to be the biggest Black film producer.
Ever. Yeah.
If I had time, I was supposed to be going to look up his trademarks and see what's going on over there in that world. Because I just want to know, like, what is his ownership like, you know? When we see like, you know, Beyonce, she has her, new like,
is her name trademark?
I haven't looked that up, but.
Well, do you have to trademark it if it's your actual name?
You do. You want to.
You got to think you not. This is Beyonce we're talking about.
Well, true. I mean, but in her Star Search Beyonce day, she's like, I'm just trying to sing us a little shoulda, coulda, woulda. She didn't think she was going to be Beyonce.
Okay, so let's.
So you wait until the moment you're like, oh, wait, I'm Beyonce. Let me go trademark some stuff.
But I will say in their camp, they have made sure that they went through and got everything. I think at some point it may have gotten abandoned or canceled or something like that. But I think even Blue Ivy.
She's still in a fight over it, actually. I just read about that.
Okay, yeah. So it's like.
There's another woman named Blue Ivy. She's like, no, you can't copyright my name because it's mine too.
And so, like, you want to think about things like that. And remember, when you're going to the negotiation table, you're like, you're getting licensed to X, Y, and Z, right? But then what about the people who want to go out there and do a show called Beyonce? They're going to say, well, you know, it's not like that, Beyonce. Prove it.
Blake Martin?
Be back up off me, the Kai experience. Listen, this is good information. If you're watching on YouTube, comment below. One or two things you've learned in the episode so far. We want to hear that, please.
And we have something really good that we're going to start implementing. It's called This or That. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So
I
we have 60 seconds. We're going to ask, don't think, whatever comes to your mind, you just answer it as it is. No.
Just make sure your answers are copyrighted. Trademark.
I'm saying
don't overthink it, and you can't say both.
Yeah, both is not an option.
You ready?
I hate this or that, people.
Mm-hmm. And go. Jill or Erica?
Ooh, Jill.
Spaghetti with sugar or without?
None at all.
All right.
Now he meant Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts?
Starbucks.
Usher or Chris Brown?
Breezy.
What?
I love Usher.
That idea is definitely not trademarked. That is crazy.
But when a rich won't you?
That's crazy.
Okay, hold on. We got to finish. Get up early or stay up late?
Ooh, stay up late.
All black or all white?
All white.
Read a book or listen to the audio?
Read a book.
Monica or Brandy?
Monica.
Prince or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
I need to be on that tea world. Tea. I'm going to speak it into existence.
So it's clear that she's intelligent. She just has horrible musical taste. It's clear.
No, Blake. No, let me tell you.
No. Because Chris Brown and Monica...
Okay, Brandy never did it for me. She should have stuck with Moesha. We not found world. But no, Usher. Usher is my guy. Like Usher is my guy.
You're a part of the generation that loves Usher. We not a breezy world.
But Breezy produced so much music. And when I think about when I was taking my first bar exam, it was Hurt the Same, and you know that album that really got me through. And so it's just like, yeah,
all right,
yeah.
So. I hope you guys had your notes. If not, just replay it and play the episode over. She is Jameela. What is your Instagram handle?
Jameela Moore, ESQ.
And you guys already know what to do. Like.
Comment.
Share.
Subscribe.
Follow.
All of that.
Hit us up.
Make sure you comment down below. We want to hear from you. We can't do this unless we know what you want. What do you want us to talk about? Who you want us to have as a guest? Talk back to us. We need you.
Until next time.
And don't steal. This is copyright. We'll see y'all later.
Bye.